إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on managing our lives. As I mentioned, it's not calling it time management is wrong, because we can't manage time, we can manage our lives and priorities. And I was talking to you about the tools. And yesterday we mentioned the tool for prioritizing, which is to list three things that you need to do on that day. Every day, start the day with that, list three things, and then do them one by one. Today I will talk to you about another tool, which is what I call the effort impact analysis. You can call it effort impact analysis, you can call it investment impact analysis. The word effort we are using here not only to mean physical effort, but any kind of investment that you are making in a particular activity. The investment could be physical, it could be mental, it could be investment in terms of time, it could be investment in terms of money, or any kind of investment that you are making in the pursuit of any particular activity. So we call this the effort impact or investment impact analysis. Now what you do is you draw a four blocker, which is you draw a square and then you subdivide the square into four smaller squares. You put a cross in the middle of it and then make a graph on the x-axis. It doesn't matter whichever axis, but x-axis you put effort, y-axis you put impact. So effort and impact. So you will have four possibilities: something which is high effort, high impact; something which is high effort, low impact; something which is low effort, low impact; and something which is low effort and high impact. So four possibilities. Something which is low effort, high impact, we call this leverage. You did not have to do much, but the impact was massive, big impact. Some very simple things, for example, good manners, smiling at somebody is leverage, because the number of things that you can get done in life simply if you have a smile on your face, it's amazing. People don't value that. They always want to look like they've just come back from a funeral or something. I don't know why. I mean, they're all grumpy expression on the face. Somebody doesn't want to look at your face twice because of what you look like, you know. I mean, you want to see somebody smile, you have to take them to a dentist to see their teeth. So just a smile on the face, as simple as that, the impact of it is massive, huge. Similarly, saying salam to somebody. Just that. Just saying salam to somebody. Major impact. I lived for the whole year in Saudi Arabia in 2003. And as you know, a lot of checkpoints, and you go to the airport, you've got like three places they will check you for iqama and this and that and the other. Alhamdulillah, I was never checked once. Anywhere. And I think it's all because I always make sure that I say assalamu alaikum very nicely and with a big smile on my face. And the moment you say assalamu alaikum, he says wa alaikum assalam, faddal faddal. You try to take out the khama from maafi mushkila shaykh, faddal faddal faddal. He says go. No need for the khama. Just saying salam and smiling takes you through a lot of places. So high impact. Another small effort, high impact, is tahajjud. Right. You wake up for Fajr anyway, wake up a little bit earlier, pray two rakat of tahajjud, and that's the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting du'as. Small effort, big, huge impact. Small effort, big impact is the first salawat in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, in any case you pray, it's not as if, you know, you're not people who don't pray, but make a little bit more effort, come to the masjid, 27 times the reward. 27 times the reward. And I always remind myself and tell you, Don't think about it as 27 times. Think about that value of it on the day of judgment when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the amal are being weighed. It's a very important thing to think about. Allah did not say He will count the deeds. He will weigh the deeds. So it is the quality of your salah. It is the value of that thing. It's not, you know, how many rakats or... it's a question of what is the value, the weight of that deed, whatever the deed was. So, effort, impact. So, low effort, high impact. Then we come to things which are high effort, high impact. Earning a PhD, for example, starting and running a good business which is interest-free. It's a strange thing, Ajib. Muslims believe that it is actually possible to succeed while accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, I really say seriously, you have to ask yourself. First of all, there are only two ways that you can have this position. One is if you are really not a Muslim. And I don't care if you are born in a Muslim home or what kind of a name you have. It makes no difference. Are you really a Muslim? Do you have Iman or not? It's as simple as that. Because if you have Iman, then how do you borrow money on interest when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war against the one who deals in interest? And then you think that this is going to get you barakah and this is going to help you and so on and so forth. How is it possible? So either you are not even Muslim, something is wrong with your, seriously wrong with your Iman. And I don't know if you want to meet Malakul Maut in that state, because that is not a nice place to be in. Or second thing is you are insane. You are insane. You really, something is wrong with your brain. You know. So, because there's no, this is a completely illogical situation. Totally illogical situation. So either you don't believe this at all, which means there's no Iman. Or if you are saying you believe it and you are doing this, then you are completely at contradicting yourself, which means you are completely insane. How is it that a Muslim believes that he or she can get success in life while accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So either the ayat of the Quran is wrong or you are wrong. You decide which one. So, that's why I'm saying high effort, high impact is to build a good business which is halal. And the number one condition for a business to be halal is that it must be free from interest-based earnings. And of course, other things. We have people, may Allah forgive us, we have people who, Muslims, who run restaurants which are serving alcohol and pork. In Hyderabad, a city where people don't even eat pork. I mean, I don't know what's this issue with... How many people do you know who eat pork? Even in our city, even the Christians and the Sikhs who normally eat pork, even they don't eat pork. Once in a blue moon something. It's not as if they eat pork every day. Why must you as a Muslim run a restaurant to serve this? What do you say about all the Brahmin restaurants who are completely, totally vegetarian? And not for generations. Take Taj Mahal, take Minerva and so on and so forth. Huge thumping business they have been doing, not for now, they have been doing for the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And they are completely vegetarian. No alcohol, no nothing. People are going. People will go. If you have a brand, if you are doing something good, people will come. But we Muslims want to convince ourselves that the only way I can make money is through this. You will know when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will know when you go into your qabr, what is the value of that haram income that you are generating for yourselves. And then they fool each other. And they say, no, you see, we are not taking this halal haram income. We have somebody else who runs the alcohol shop in my hotel. And he takes the money and goes. And I have that only because unless there is alcohol in the hotel, people will not come to the hotel. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. And we have got ulama who have given this fatwa to say this is okay. So, high impact, high effort. Something which takes a lot of effort and energy and so on, but alhamdulillah, the impact is massive. Impact is very good because you now created a business which is alhamdulillah completely halal, highly successful business, which is an inspiration for other people. You earned a PhD, you studied, you wrote a book, right? You climbed Mount Everest and so on. And on top of that, on top of Mount Everest, you prayed two rakat of salah, which is something which nobody else would have done probably there. So whatever it was, but you did something which was remarkable. Alhamdulillah, this is something which is good. I always say, the International Space Station, you know, orbiting the Earth. How many Muslims are there? As far as I did some research and I found one Malaysian guy who went. So, low effort, high impact is leverage. High effort, high impact is hard work, alhamdulillah, also good. Then you've got two other quadrants. You've got a quadrant where there is high effort and low impact. Now, on the face of this, this is useless. It is a waste of time because you are spending time, energy, money, emotion behind something and the impact is zero. Now, this refers to two kinds of things. One is you are either working below your level, meaning that you are doing somebody else's work which you really should not be doing. And that kind of stuff you must delegate. Don't do it because it's not worth your time. Delegate it to somebody else. That person will do the job that is worth that person's time. He makes some money out of it. From the time I came back to India in 2000, that is the first thing I did. I had a person who was used to work for us, alhamdulillah. We used to give him a certain amount of money, a salary every month, right? It's not a big amount of money, but some small amount of money, which was good for him. I mean, it was small for us, alhamdulillah, but it was for him, it was whatever he wanted. His job was that anytime there was some bill to be paid or some official work to be done or something like this, where it involved going and standing in a line or doing something, bank work, all of this, his job was to do that. So there was no daily work. So he would come or he would phone and say 5-6 times a month or more, you know, a couple of times more, he would come and do this work. So now that saved me from going and standing in a line at the post office, at the bank, at this one, and e-seva and whatnot. I've never seen any of those places. And I don't want to see them either. It saves me a lot of my time. And for that person, it's income. It's, you know, something which helps him. He is happy, I'm happy. So delegate. The other place, which is high effort, low impact, is useless conversations. So, and this is something which we should completely, because it takes a lot of time, takes energy, takes emotion. We get upset and so on and so forth. And you are, you know, sometimes you get into a big argument with people and so on. Completely things which are totally out of your control. You have no khudrat to do anything about them or to change them in any way. But you're getting all this emotional about something. Makes zero sense. Final quadrant is high effort and low impact. And then low effort, no impact. So there is either something which has got neither effort nor impact. Some of these are compliance things. Even though the impact is not much, effort also is not much, so you might say, well, you know, do it. So therefore, now all these four quadrants, high effort, low impact, eliminate. Either delegate it, if it is delegatable, or otherwise just don't do it. Low effort, low impact, do if you have to do. You've got no choice to do it, so do it. Otherwise, also leave that. So these two quadrants. Low effort, high impact, make sure you do it. Because it's low effort, you're getting a lot of benefit out of it. High effort, high impact, pick and choose that which makes sense, do that. This is called effort impact analysis. What you must do is, once you make this quadrant, go back to your daily time log which you read earlier, look at those things and say, where do I put these? My daily activities, how many are in this quadrant, how many in this quadrant, how many in this quadrant, how many in this quadrant, and that will give you an idea of how you can change your day plan to make it a much more productive day than what you have currently. So you make this, make the chart of the effort impact analysis, go to the time log, take those items in the time log, map them onto this chart, and it will tell you how you are doing, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our lives productive and useful, and for Him to be pleased with that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain, bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.